From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, of this edition of Current Sports. We have a great show in store for all of you out there. Of course, I'm a bit tired, I'm shaking it off, though. Thank goodness for coffee, folks. Oh, I tell you, I'm just getting back from Indianapolis, Indiana, covering the Big Ten tournament in which the Michigan State men's basketball team was crowned champions. What a moment it was. What a game it was. What a weekend it was. I mean, Michigan State topping Ohio State, making slight work of the Buckeyes, going on to play Maryland in a nail-biter, and Purdue in a close one as well. Fun game. You'll get to hear my coverage from out in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You don't want to miss that. We will also dive into the bracket itself. Michigan State is not a number one seed. A lot of talk about that. We'll also break down the bracket region by region, give you our surprises from Selection Sunday. And I'm curious. I want to know what you guys think about the bracket, about Michigan State winning the Big Ten tournament, Michigan State not being a number one seed. Call in 517-355-9527. You'll get to hear from Tom Izzo, Colby Wolinman, who had a big game yesterday, Aaron Harris, Denzel Valentine. It's going to be a March Madness-filled show, okay? Before we get to all of that jazz and so much more, we start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Monday, March 14th. All right, Michigan State, they captured its second Big Ten tourney title in three seasons with a 66-62 win over Purdue yesterday. Denzel Valentine fell just short of a triple-double. 15 points, 10 boards, 9 assists, and was named the tournament's most outstanding player. Valentine hit a wild double-clutch shot with 1:48 left that proved to be the winner for the Spartans. Amid their celebration, and to the surprise of many, the Spartans earned a 2 seed in the Midwest region of the Big Dance. MSU will play 15 seed Middle Tennessee State on Friday.
It felt, when the buzzer went off, it felt good, but I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm not trying to sound bad on this, but I'm like, I already did this before. I want something bigger. No disrespect, but I'm grateful for this because this shows that we can put something together and win something. And this is definitely a mark in my career that's going to add to my legacy and the seniors' legacy. But that national championship, that's where I want. That's where we want to be. That's where we saw ourselves as soon as the season got over last year.
More from Denzel Valentine in just a sec. The Michigan basketball team squeaked into the NCAA tourney as they will participate in one of the first 4 games, thanks to this heroic buzzer beater 3 by Cam Chapman.
Michigan needs a win for their NCAA tournament hopes. They're trying to get it here with Walton. Bielfeld slips. Walton. Chapman hoists the 3. It's good! At the buzzer! Michigan wins!
What a moment. The Wolverines picked up 2 wins in the Big Ten tourney, including that one over the top seed Indiana on Friday to boost their resume. The tournament appearance is particularly impressive, seeing as though U of M has played the majority of this season without top players Caris LeVert and Derek Walton Jr. The Maize and Blue will square off with another surprise tourney team, the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, in Dayton, Ohio on Wednesday night. Around 6:30 p.m. Sunday night during the selection show for the NCAA tourney, a leaked bracket emerged on Twitter that made waves throughout the sports world. A CBS spokesperson told ESPN that the network would have no comment on the leaked bracket, while the NCAA said in a statement that it was investigating the situation. Quote, "We go through great lengths to prevent the tournament field from being revealed early. Unfortunately and regrettably, the bracket was revealed prior to our broadcast partners having the opportunity to finish the unveiling." The NCAA made that statement. Quote, "We also take this matter seriously. We are looking into it." All right, the Michigan State hockey team held senior night on Saturday, honoring 9 players in their final game at Monice Arena. It was a victorious night for MSU as they got the better of Ohio State's 2-1 in a shootout.
Gust has to score or the Spartans win the shootout. Gust well off to his left, comes back into the middle.
Shoots, hey!
And it's poked off his stick by Hildebrand. Jake Hildebrand on senior night gets the shootout win. The Spartans get the extra point and get to celebrate.
Yes, 2-1, Michigan State with the dub. Captain Michael Ferentino and goalie Jake Hildebrand were among those honored after halftime. Next up for the Spartans is the Big Ten Tournament, which begins Thursday in St. Paul, Minnesota. MSU opens up against the same Ohio State Buckeyes they played over the weekend. Very cool night, senior night at Munn, as the nine seniors got a chance to kiss the ice. Gotta love that. All right, it was a tough night at the Joe for the Detroit Red Wings on Sunday. The Wings were shut out on home ice by the Toronto Maple Leafs. One zip. Toronto goalie Jonathan Bernier, he stopped all 38 shots he faced, and Michael Grabner scored the game's lone goal with 29.5 seconds left in the second period. Every point is crucial for Detroit as they are just 3 points clear of the Philadelphia Flyers for the final playoff spot in the East. Those two teams will square off on Tuesday night in Philly. And the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Pistons, we just talked about the Wings. The Pistons are on the road to Washington tonight to face the Wizards. And head coach Stan Van Gundy has been unhappy with the Pistons' latest defensive effort, but the team edged through for an Eastern Conference playoff spot by working the court at the other end of the floor. Defense, folks, bouncing back from a loss at Charlotte with the win over Philadelphia. The Pistons have high hopes to take home a victory over the Wizards, who are struggling during a season-high skid. And Brandon Dawson, former Spartan baller, now a rookie with the LA Clippers, was arrested Sunday morning on suspicion of spousal abuse. We'll have more on that later on. Folks, it is now time to start the show.
Jumper's another one. That's a nice jaw dropper. 50 seconds remaining.
Once again, they got to do it on their own.
Swanigan, the freshman, off the mark.
Well, you got so many inside.
Time to score, young fella.
Let's get down the floor. Hill driving out. Just blocked. Valentine with 10 seconds. Forbes fouled by Mathias.
And it's going to stay at this end, but unless they've got some four-point play. Only 1.5 seconds away from Michigan State winning the Big Ten tournament for a fifth time. And they'll back off Edwards, and the Spartans take the title.
Thank you to everybody that came out and showed us support. We had an unbelievable crowd throughout the good and bad times. You guys didn't give up on us. You guys were loud, and that's what we needed to carry us on. So I appreciate everything.
Houston, Houston, let's go!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I trust that you all had a fantastic weekend. I know the Spartan fans out there listening surely had a fantastic weekend as the Michigan State men's basketball team took home the Big Ten tournament title for the fifth time. How about that? In school history, Michigan State has a record of 5-1 in the Big Ten tourney title game. And now they are the only school in conference history to officially win 5 Big Ten tourney championships. Admirable to say the least, folks. Wow. Congratulations to Tom Izzo and his squad. And I say officially to win 5 Big Ten tourney titles because Ohio State unofficially has 5. If you remember, they got that 2002 Big Ten tourney title snatched away from them. So congratulations to the Spartans. It was a fantastic weekend. That's how I spent my weekend. I was out in Indianapolis, Indiana on a solo mission. That's right. I was riding solo covering that event. And it was a throwback because I remember one of my very first assignments as a reporter when I was a reporter and anchor at WLNS TV6. I went out to Chicago to cover the Big Ten women's basketball tournament as Susie Merchant and her squad made it all the way to the championship game. I forget, wait, that was what, 2012? Yeah, I think that was 2012 or, no, it had to be 2013, March of 2013. But man, oh man, I mean, it was a throwback. I was there solo, dolo, had a great time out in Indianapolis, Indiana. I shot, edited everything, filed my reports, and I have another report coming for you guys, later on. You can go to WKAR.org to check that out. I'll have the raw celebration that I shot on the court at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, home of the Indiana Pacers. You get to see the players go up and cut down the net. And also, Denzel Valentine, you heard a snippet of it during that beginning montage, but Denzel Valentine, he addressed the crowd at Bankers Life Fieldhouse after Michigan State had pulled out the dub. Valentine was, of course, named the tournament most outstanding player as well. I'm also going to post the raw interview from Tom Izzo after the Big Ten tournament win because I find it always telling. And I have to say, you know, I've been covering, this is what, my third year covering the Big Ten tournament now. And this had to be, this is the most fun I've had covering the tournament itself just because of how good this team is and how much fun they are to watch. And you talk about two close games against, one against Maryland and one against Purdue. Last year was certainly fun as well because the championship game, you know, went to overtime, Wisconsin topping Michigan State. But this one, you know, Michigan State comes out on top, and it's a nail-biter, you know, down to the finish. And the atmosphere at Bankers Life Fieldhouse was absolutely amazing the entire weekend. I showed up, actually, just in time on Saturday to check out the Maryland and Michigan game. And as soon as I walked into the building, folks, I looked up at the very top of the rafters, and it was packed all the way down. There was not an empty seat in the house. It was unbelievable. Then the atmosphere for the championship game yesterday. I mean, it was rocking. It felt like a Final Four atmosphere. Absolutely unbelievable. And another thing that I love, because you don't get another opportunity to do this. You just don't. And it may change in the coming years. Because I think that the conference may look at this and say, okay, there is money to be made here. There's more money to be made here, as if the conference, the Big Ten Conference and the NCAA already isn't swimming in millions, right? But the thing I love about the Big Ten tourney is that the media, we get to sit right behind the bench of both teams. Whatever teams are playing during that time, you get to sit right behind the bench. Now, during the first Michigan, during the game before, you know, the championship game for Michigan State, during the Maryland game, I got a chance to sit behind the Maryland bench and, listening to Mark Turgeon, and, you know, I could hear everything he's telling his players. It, just great stuff. But, I made the mistake because I wanted to sit behind the Michigan State bench. So I'm sitting there saying, oh, man, I judge wrong here. Because it's really a guessing game before the game to try and figure out which team is going to be at which bench. And I did not make that mistake on Sunday, though, during the championship game. I made sure to ask around and say, okay, where is Michigan State going to be sitting at? So I got the chance to sit behind the Michigan State bench, and it is so entertaining, folks, to listen to Tom Izzo. You know, unfiltered, you know, the highs and lows, the ebb and flows of a game, and to hear him, you know, going off on his players. You know, there was a moment that happened on Saturday, and I just happened to be, again, I sat behind the Maryland bench, but I just happened to be walking by as, you know, walking by to my seat when at the very beginning of that Maryland game where, if you remember, Aaron Harris, he got a double tech. He got into it with Jack Layman, I believe, of Maryland. And, you know, a timeout occurs, and Izzo grabs Aaron Harris's wrist, and you can hear exactly what he says. I mean, he absolutely goes off. I can't say it over the airwaves, but he just goes off, okay? But you get that extreme with Izzo. But then there's a moment that occurred on Sunday where I'm watching Izzo, and Bryn Forbes didn't have a great shooting weekend, and a lot of that has to do with the defense from Maryland and Purdue. They honed in on Bryn. And it was interesting. I heard Mark Turgeon, you know, even right before the game when they played Michigan State, I heard Turgeon say, hey, make sure you key in on Forbes. Do not let him get in transition for a three-pointer. I can hear him say that clear as day. So teams are starting to hone in on Bryn and to take away, you know, good looks from the three-point line because they know that Bryn Forbes is a pretty good shooter. Simple as that. But there was a moment, you know, with Bryn struggling yesterday against Purdue. Izzo calls a timeout, and I just mentioned the extreme in the speech that he gave Aaron Harris, right? But on the contrary, he grabs Bryn Forbes and says, hey, kid, it's okay. It's all right. Just kind of give him a pep talk not to you know, diminish his confidence. That's what makes Tom Izzo great. That's what makes Tom Izzo such a genius during this time of the year. But it was fun. It was fun being down there. So, you know, what does the Big Ten tournament do for this team now? Well, I'm as much baffled as many of you out there are right now, okay? Heck, I thought that Michigan State, all they had to do was just make it to the Big Ten tournament semifinals, and they were pretty much a lock to be a number one seed come NCAA tourney time, let alone win the entire enchilada. So I was pretty much as baffled as you were when it came out that Michigan State was not going to be a top seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you should have heard the buzz amongst us media members. When we found that out, I mean, we kind of looked at each other and said, what? Are you kidding me? And Virginia is a number one seed? Virginia is a team that did not win its conference regular season title and did not even win its conference tournament title. Let alone Michigan State is now a two seed to them. It blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. So would you like to hear what Tom Izzo thought about it? Well, let's play it for you. Here is Tom Izzo after the Big Ten title game, after cutting down the nets. Tom Izzo, of course, addressed his team not being a number one seed.
No, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about that. I might be bummed tomorrow, maybe, but I doubt it. But I am going to enjoy. I don't do this much, you know. I love George Perlis. He was kind of a mentor when I got to Michigan State. As we all know, he has the 24-hour rule, you know, mourn a loss for 24 hours or celebrate a win. These guys deserve to feel good about it, you know. I don't understand how things work. And you know, I said I spent a lot of my life on a lot of boards, and whether it be different things with officiating, different things with this, you talk about injuries and all that and things that are, but I really don't care. I mean, we're going to have to play. If you're a one, you're going to have to play a good two if you all advance. If you're a two, you're going to have to play a good one if you all advance. And how many times does it come down to that anyway? You know, it's usually somebody else. So I felt like winning the Big Ten was an accomplishment this year, and I think it saved face a little bit because we hurt ourselves early in the year, you know, losing those games at Wisconsin mentally and, you know, and some coaching mistakes at the end, and then the loss to Nebraska at home, and we shot so bad. We put ourselves out of the Big Ten race. It's nice to regroup and figure out in 3 days that you at least save face a little bit. I've been through so many things. You know, it'll be fun to listen to my AD on, you know, how everything went down. But, I mean, hey, Virginia's very deserving. Kansas is very deserving. North Carolina is very deserving. And probably Oregon is. I don't get to see them very much. But, as I said, it doesn't really matter. Is it true that we're in the Midwest? Or is,
they're not claiming official someone yet. Leaked a bracket, and so far everything on that bracket has come to fruition.
Another media guy, huh?
And yeah. You guys eliminated in the second round, though, so maybe you don't want that.
That's why I don't worry about those brackets right now. I just worry about my team.
Tom, you didn't get on that ladder. Is that symbolic for something, that maybe you're chasing something bigger here?
No. You know what? I wanted my managers to go up there. I really did. You know, it's kind of ironic that Kobe comes in and maybe wins the game for us. You know, a walk-on that hasn't played lately and is an unbelievable scout team member. Our managers, you know, we now have a wall up in my office with all the former managers. I'm a weirdo on things that matter to me. And Jalen was the last manager that hadn't gone up, and I cut down some nets before, and I wanted him to get that opportunity because I don't know if he'd ever get it again.
Do you like the attitude that your players are kind of assuming already? They're like, we don't care who we play, we just have a goal.
Yeah, that's kind of the MO. I mean, you know, I don't look at it as disrespect. You know, there's got to be a reason for it, you know. And, you know, what's hard in scheduling, you know what I was most disappointed with this year? Where our strength of schedule fell to. And the only reason I was disappointed is, you know, we played a team like Northeastern we thought was going to be really good and maybe win their league, and some teams, you know, I know I talked to Mark Few, you know, they beat UCLA just beat Kentucky and some other teams, and then they kind of have a rough year. You know, those are the things that are hard, that people don't realize how hard it is to schedule and try to put yourself in a position. But we played so many good teams, and then we played like 300 teams because we couldn't schedule anybody else. And so all those things, you know, we'll learn from them, but whether we're 1, 2, or 3 seed, I told you guys last week it didn't matter. Still doesn't matter to me. I'm going to enjoy this championship.
So, Tom, in case that league bracket is accurate, you know anything about Middle Tennessee State?
No. No, is that who we're up first? No, nothing about East Middle Tennessee State. But I can promise you this, those managers that I let cut down the net, by the time I get home, I'll have it all done. There's going to be some incredible four. I mean, somebody said today Kentucky's a 4 seed or 5 seed or something like that. When you think of those kind of things, there's going to be some incredible 4 or 5. I think there'll be some incredible 8 and 9 seeds. So, you know, it all comes down to that tournament, to matchups. I mean, matchups is what it's all about. You might be better than a team and just don't match up well. And it also could come down to, you know, one bad night. That's the interesting thing about the NCAA tournament.
Can you remember just those days with games that physical and teams that effective at guarding you in the half court?
You know, I don't know why everybody says they were that effective in guarding us. You guys got blown away by what we did in some of those games against maybe weaker teams. We still shot 42 or 3%. We still scored 41 points in one half and 40-something. You know, the second half, we didn't play as good. I think, you know, Zell's wearing down a little bit, and you know, that's why we're trying to sub him a little bit more. But I give all the credit to Purdue, and I thought it was physical. I mean, you know, you play one way during the year and a different way in the tournament, we all know that, but I thought it was physical both ways, so it was even. But I you know, I think both those teams are damn good. And you know, Brent had shots today, though. He didn't get shots. He had some shots today. They just didn't fall. So those things don't bother me, you know, because I know we'll shoot the ball. Not maybe at the level that we've shot it in some games. What's encouraging is when we didn't, I kept his butt still on the court because he's grown enough to be able to defend and make us better that way. And getting something, you think about today, Kobe Williman or, you know, McQuaid hits a big shot. You know, Tom's playing a little better. We're starting to get a lot more basketball, a lot more people, and we're going to be worn down a little bit. You know, that everybody thought is such a brilliant move to put Zell at the point, but I'm telling you, that is wearing on a person. And I thought today he did a pretty good job of We did a good job getting him in and out. He did a great job of letting me know when he was tired.
Tom, so same philosophy, win the weekend instead of looking at the bigger picture?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we just got to win the weekend. I mean, yeah, you know, we can't win the first game. We got to win the weekend. You got to win the first game to win the weekend, so everybody will take that whatever way they want. But as far as we go, we'll be preparing for three games early. My staff will be preparing for three games. And I'm hoping that our senior maturity level will make sure that they let people understand this is what we do at Michigan State. This is what we've been doing. And you look past somebody and you'll get beat. And I'll definitely put up, you know, something that Duke went through or something that Kansas or something that whatever team went through over the years. You know, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I mean, Tom Izzo, hey, they'll play anybody. You know, seating, whatever. But now he tells that to the media, but I guarantee that he's going to use this to motivate his team. Without a doubt. Was it disrespectful to not have Michigan State as a number one seed in this tourney? You better believe. The committee got that wrong. Again, Virginia, a number one seed over Michigan State. Virginia, again, they failed to win the ACC regular season or tournament title. Michigan State wins the Big Ten. They are the hottest team in the nation right now. They had an RPI of 8. They have multiple top 50 wins. They won 15 of their last 14 games. Virginia, they had some glaring losses at the very beginning of the year. Virginia, don't get me wrong, they're a good team. But George Washington, you know, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Miami, I don't know. When looking at it, the committee got it wrong. But on the flip side of this whole thing, I do believe that Michigan State has, I don't want to say an easy road, but in comparison to the other regions, Michigan State got it good right now. I will say that. Because just look at it, folks. Michigan State right now sits in the Midwest. They'll play Middle Tennessee. You know, Tom Izzo couldn't even say the name when he first brought up the team at first. But they'll play Middle Tennessee. They'll eventually meet either Utah or Seton Hall. Seton Hall, they're hot right now. Utah is a very good team. I think Michigan State can beat either one of those teams, though. And I do think that we will see a rematch of last year's Virginia and Michigan State game. I do believe that. But Michigan State sitting in the Midwest in comparison to the West, in comparison to the South and the East, the Midwest right now is the easiest of those four regions, without a doubt. Now, you know, and looking at this dynamic of possibly seeing another Virginia and Michigan State matchup, if you remember what happened last year, it was a 60-54 Michigan State win in the East region, third round to go on to the Sweet 16. Travis Trice just completely erupted, folks. He had 23 points and actually had 13 of the first 15 points for Michigan State in that game. And, you know, there was this talk, and I was asked this question this morning on current state with Mark Bayshore. Mark posed the question whether or not Virginia would rather trade its number one seeding and not have to match up against Michigan State, possibly, because of what has occurred in recent history. But no, I think Virginia wants to see Michigan State again because they're competitive. They're competitive. They want to show and prove that they can beat Michigan State. Will that happen? I don't think so. I think Michigan State right now, again, they're the hottest team in the nation right now. They're playing so good on both sides of the basketball. And again, you know, some of my biggest takeaways from looking at what took place this weekend is that Michigan State proved that they can handle adversity. That was the biggest takeaway for me. When things got tight, when Bryn Forbes couldn't hit anything, and that's always been the big question. Okay, what will happen to Michigan State if Bryn Forbes isn't hitting the shot? They collapse. No, that did not happen at all. You know, Bryn Forbes, looking at his numbers, he had 9 points against Purdue, 1 of 6 from the three-point line. Against Ohio State, 4 points, 0 of 4 from the three-point line. But Michigan State still gets the dub. That's because this team is so deep. Colby Wolinman, he was the prime, you know, start for my story yesterday because he was so good. 4 points, 5 boards, 1 assist. But Colby Wolinman defensively impacted the game so much. You know, going against the Twin Towers and Isaac Haas, you know, and A.J. Hammonds. Also, you add Caleb Swanigan into that mix as well. Colby Wolinman held his own in that game and was the catalyst down the stretch for Michigan State on multiple occasions. Denzel Valentine played like Denzel Valentine has played all year. 15 points, 10 boards, 9 assists against Purdue. The game before that, 18 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds against Maryland. 19 points, 8 assists, 7 boards against Ohio State. Denzel Valentine is going to do him. That's just Denzel. But those around him have to step up, and they showed that they could. And get this, this is another mind-blowing thing here. Against Purdue, other than the 5 starters for Michigan State, 6 other players, 6 other players, folks, from the bench, saw production in the scoring column. Wow. If that ain't depth, I don't know what is, folks. So, it's going to be an interesting tourney, I think Michigan State, again, they have right now a pretty good road to a Final Four in comparison to other regions. But again, they're not going to take any team lightly. Again, this team, and they won't. You better believe that Tom Izzo is going to have his team ready. As far as other surprises concerning the entire bracket, and again, we encourage you to call in because I'm curious to get your thoughts on the bracket and what do you think of Michigan State getting the number 2 seed, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, Oregon and Virginia is number 1 seeds while MSU is not. I've been harping on this, but again, that's just such a glaring surprise. And the head of the selection committee this year and next year is going to be Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis. How cool is that, right? But Oklahoma AD, Joe Castiglione, he talked about, Oregon, having the 3rd rated strength of schedule and number 2 RPI in the nation, and that being a bit reason as to why Oregon was a number 1 seed and Michigan State wasn't. But he said it was it was pretty heated when talking about Michigan State being a number 1 seed. And I'm pretty sure it was. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation. And, it's going to be very difficult for any squad this year. Again, I'm constantly reiterating how this year there's so much parity. So much parity. I mean, anybody can be beaten on any given day, okay? And out of the 31 postseason tournaments this past week, out of the 31 postseason tournaments, folks, only 10 were won by top seeds. Only 10. That directly speaks to this year how anybody can go all the way, all right? Big shout out to Oregon State. They're back in the tourney for the first time since 1990. Gary Payton II. Yeah, little Gary Payton, man. He's following the footsteps of his father. And, Oregon State, they are a 7 seed that plays number 10 VCU on Friday. Gary Payton II, he's really leading that squad. So congratulations to them. Also, CSU Bakersfield. That's right, the Roadrunners. They make it to the tourney for the first time ever, beating New Mexico State on a buzzer beater to win the Western Athletic Conference tourney. If you didn't see that highlight, I don't know where you were. Unbelievable for them, so congratulations to them. And Kentucky, as Izzo mentioned, a number 4 seed. One worse than Texas A&M, who Kentucky beat in the SEC tournament title game. I don't agree with that one either. So, again, we'll take your calls on Tourney Talk, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start first break. Again, we will get to hear from Aaron Harris on winning the Big Ten Championship. Also, Denzel Valentine. He sounded a lot like Marshawn Lynch after that title game addressing the seeding. You'll get to hear from Zell as well. All of that and more. Don't go anywhere. Don't you do it. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
These Ohioans all have something in common.
I'm Jim Sperlino.
Kevin White. Terry King.
My name is Joe Madvey.
Scott George.
Tim Derrickson.
They're all Republicans, they're all conservative, and they're all running for the same seat in Congress.
My name is Bill Beagle.
I'm Warren Davidson.
My name is Eric Hammerly.
My name is Ed Meir.
John Robin.
My name is Mike Smith.
Katie Winterick.
And I'm George Hoyt.
The crowded field to succeed John Boehner later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
From athletes to authors, from kings to the common man, join me on a journey to the places, people, and events that shaped our world today. Hi, this is Mike Worf, inviting you to hear the visual sounds of Kaleidoscope, Saturdays at 4 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 and WKAR.org.
They told us to be ready just because of the fact, like you said, foul trouble is always an issue when you play a team that's got size like that. And so I figured this was, you know, I might have a chance. You know, I didn't know what kind of opportunity it would be, but I kind of tried to prepare like I would be in there.
Kobe, your explosion out there, I mean, it just directly speaks to the depth on this team, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it shows that, you know, from 1 to 17, really, that all the guys got the same, they all have the same goal. They all do everything they can every day to try and help this team win. So, you know, we obviously do. We have a deep team. We got a lot of guys that can play basketball. But most importantly, I think, is we got a lot of guys that are bought into the same goal and bought into the same ideals, I guess, and they all want to win together.
All right, folks, that was Kobe Wohlenmann, who was really the hero of yesterday's Michigan State and Purdue championship game, doing it on both ends of the floor. We saw some offensive production from him, which we don't normally see from Mr. Wohlenmann. 4 points, but big buckets, you know, clutch buckets, all right? 5 boards, 1 assist, and he did a great defensive job down low when the starting front court got into some foul trouble. Folks, we are taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, Michigan State will take on Middle Tennessee this Friday, 2:45 p.m., on CBS. And how about Michigan making the tourney? Also, you know, got to give a shout out to Michigan. John Beilein, man, if they would have went out in the first round, they would. We're talking NIT. we're definitely talking NIT, but just some clutch wins, clutch victories. You know, 2 wins in the Big Ten tourney. Again, they made it to the semifinals. They were eliminated by Maryland, but those 2 wins were enough to get them into at least a play-in game where they will play Tulsa on the 16th. That'll be Wednesday at 9:10 p.m. So congratulations to the Maize and Blue. Folks, we are taking your calls, 517-355-9527. We have 3 callers on the line right now. Let's start with our good friend Ray from Indiana, who wants to talk about Michigan basketball. Ray, I was in your area yesterday, my man. How you doing?
Oh, you were up by Fort Wayne?
Yeah, I drove through Fort Wayne, actually, to get to Bankers Life Fieldhouse and heading back to East Lansing.
Hey, I'm going to give you a heads up. Have you ever seen that movie, The Kurt Warner Story?
I have not seen the movie, Ray.
Well, his story, they having the movie out, but the story is on at 4 o'clock today on NFL Network if you want to see it.
I may have to get home and DVR that, my friend.
It's an amazing story. You know, he sent me a nice card with it signed and another thing, but let's go on to the bullies. I knew they'd bully their way into the tournament. I'm going to tell you something. They lost like 7 out of the last 10 games in the regular season. They beat Northwestern, a team that was lower seed than them, and Northwestern had a shot at the buzzer to beat them. Then they beat Indiana at the buzzer, and they lose by 18. You know they lost 11 out of their 12 losses were by 10 points or more, sir?
Yeah, but Ray, I will say this, though.
10 points or more.
You got to admit, it was pretty impressive what this team was able to do down the stretch when they needed to get 2 wins at least to make a solid case to make the tourney. I mean, they beat top-seeded Indiana, right? That was impressive.
Northwestern almost lost to Northwestern at the buzzer. I mean, come on, right, Northwestern's right. A lower seed. That ain't no feather in your cap. They had one victory. They had 11 out of their 12 losses were by 10 points or more. I don't know how you get over that. You're going to let some of these other teams that got 5, 6 more victories than Michigan. Michigan was like 4-11 against top 50 teams.
But, Ray, is the old adage in sports, it's not how you win, but if you win. At the end of the day, they got the dubs. They got the dubs. They needed to make a case that they should be in the tourney. And I don't know what else to say. I'm glad the committee putting Michigan into a play-in game. It acknowledges that they didn't have a great year, but at the same time, they do deserve a shot to see if they can make a run, seeing as though how they closed out the season, Ray. I agree with the committee.
John Beilein is a big crybaby. He was on Saturday after they beat Indiana. He said, we just beat a great Northwestern team and a great Indiana team. Well, I argue with you that they beat Minnesota, Rutgers, teams that shouldn't even be in the Big Ten the way they play basketball. The teams they played, they got blown out, just about all of them.
So you wouldn't have given them a shot then, huh, Ray?
No, I wouldn't put them in. I told you, they don't deserve to be in there. But, you know, I knew the boys, they were two out when I went to church Sunday. They were four in when I come back, so they picked up six spots. You try to tell me that Michigan's attorneys didn't put pressure on that committee to change their mind.
I like that they are in a play-in game because, again, knocking off top seed Indiana in the Big Ten tourney, it was a big statement, right? That was a big statement for me. And I think that, you know, how the season – was it a great season? No, it was not a great season by any means. I mean, but again, you're looking at a squad who's playing without Caris LeVert. They play at the very beginning of the year without Derek Walton Jr.
Yeah, I want to give him credit for losing that guy and playing hard. But going back to – let's go to Purdue, okay? Purdue, I told them, you got to send it inside, and they did. They hammered them the whole game. Anybody in the tournament that is a fool if they don't hammer the ball inside and beat Michigan up.
Yeah, and you know, this is a Michigan team that has beaten Purdue this year, that has beaten Maryland this year when they were number three in the nation. You know, so they've had some marquee wins. But all right, Ray, we got to get to our other callers.
They play Tulsa. They'll beat Tulsa. But Notre Dame ought to beat them the second game.
Yeah,
but Notre Dame doesn't guard the three either. You got to guard them out on the three. So if you do that, you can beat them.
Okay. My man Ray from Indiana. Ray, thanks a lot for the call.
Here, buddy.
All right, let's get to caller number two. Michael is on line two to talk about high school hoops and then the NCAA tourney. Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, my man?
How you doing, man? Do you think Everett's going to do it tonight or East Lansing? What you think their chances are?
You know, either one of those teams can go all the way. I've said, you know, I watched East Lansing. You know, of course, they won the district title last week. My goodness. I mean, they're talented from top to bottom. You know, and I really believe, Mike, that when looking at, you know, just the makeup of that squad, again, and you have a player like Brandon Johns, who's a juggernaut. I mean, he's attracting, to, you know, coaches the likes of Tom Izzo, who's sitting front row watching this kid. I think, you know, either one of those teams can go all the way. But, again, you just never know in high school hoops either. I mean, you know, East Lansing being, what, 21-0 now for the year? They finished the regular season 19-0. If I'm putting my money on somebody, it's the Trojans to go all the way.
You know, Saginaw's going to be playing Flint Carmen Ainsworth tonight.
So I did not know that. Okay, that should be a good game.
That's going to be a great game, man. What I was going to tell you about Michigan State, man, do you think Iran Harris and the other guard, I can't get it, the other Lance, man.
Brent Forbes or DJ
Valentine? Think they progress? Is you really surprised by how well they played this year or how good of the players they became?
Brent Forbes, yes. Aaron Harris more so defensively. We all knew that Aaron Harris could score. I mean, we saw that product at West Virginia. But Aaron Harris has really become really the defensive leader of this team. So Aaron Harris, I'm more surprised about his defensive maturation process. And when it comes to Brent Forbes, I never thought that I didn't see him being this good of a shooter. I didn't see that. But it's going to be interesting, though, Mike, because, again, he was slowed down in the Big Ten tourney. Sure. You know, teams were getting back and stopping his transition three-pointers, and it kind of threw him off, you know, out of so much of a rhythm so early.
Yeah, he's a rhythm
that when
player.
He did good looks, you know, as that game went on, you know, against Maryland or Purdue, he didn't have that touch. He was not in that groove. So, but I am surprised how good of a shooter Brent Forbes has become, though, Mike.
Okay, what I was going to tell you is, since this team going to be playing in St. Louis, Missouri, you think you can travel to St. Louis now?
Yeah, no, we won't be out in St. Louis, but as they move along in the tourney, especially, I mean, Chicago is a hop and a skip from here. I assume they win this weekend. We'll be following them from then on since.
You know, the coolest thing is they stand in the Midwest, man. All the, you know, they don't go way far out to Spokane, Washington, or Brooklyn, New York, or the Providence, Rhode Island, someplace like that.
Mike, I'm sure my bosses love that. I'm sure they love that, okay?
But here's one more question. Since you talk about the number one and two seeds, do you think they automatically should get a at-large bid?
As far as what teams?
You know, like in mid-major conferences, like you had Fresno State instead of Long Beach State. I'm talking about schools like that or, you know, the schools that win the regular season but they lose in the tournament. What's your take on that one, and I'll hang up the phone and let you get the other caller.
Hey, thank you, Mike, from Saginaw. I appreciate that. And, you know, for me, it all depends on strength of schedule. You know, when you compare those strength of schedules to other teams who may be on the fringe and trying to make a legitimate case to be an attorney, you know, but then it gets sticky, though, because, you know, RPI has become so important now. When looking at, you know, where you know, which teams played who, how they stacked up against that opponent, and so on and so forth. So, I don't know. There's so many ways you can go with that conversation, though, Mike. All right, let's get to our third caller. We've got, I believe it's Coretta from East Lansing. Now, did I nail that name right?
Yeah, you got it, and I've called you before.
All right, nice. Well, nice to hear your voice again. What's on your mind, Coretta?
Well, I've got a theory, and I'd like to explore it with you to see what you think about this.
Yes, go ahead.
And I've been going to games before Magic Johnson. That's how long.
Okay, all right.
All right, now, it seems to me that what, and I ask myself, well, what has changed, and how did we end up in this second place because of our strength of who we were playing and all. And I have a feeling that it has to do with our changing from being the Big Ten to the Big Something. And we've got this cupcake Rutgers in there that we have to play. And, you know, fortunately, they won one game, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for that matter, Nebraska isn't very good, even though we lost to them by a point. I mean, that was an accident, I'd say. And it used to be, and Maryland is a plus, I must admit, but it used to be that the only pushover that we had was Northwestern, and Northwestern is pretty good this year. So perhaps we're kind of stuck in the situation that even though in the non-conference games we've been playing very tough teams, we beat Kansas, and you know, that should have been a flag in our head cap right away. Mm-hmm. But we are stuck with some of these cupcakes now, and I think it's going to go on like that. If they want to say strength is, well, look what they did to Rutgers and blah blah blah, but then they haven't been playing a real team. Do you see what I mean?
So you think that Michigan State being a 2 seed speaks more so to the overall respect or lack of respect that the Big Ten Conference has nationally, right, Coretta?
Yes, because, and but even more than that, because of these new teams that are in the Big Ten, except for Maryland, okay?
Coretta, I think you may have nailed it. That was going to be my argument coming out of the second break, that the reason why Michigan State is a 2 seed is because, and especially when you look at the overall rankings of the Big Ten teams who made the tourney this year, you can make an argument. I mean, Indiana at 5? Indiana is a team that won the Big Ten regular season, but yet they're a 5 seed? That's exactly what the committee's mindset was when evaluating the conference and putting in perspective Michigan State. I agree with you, Coretta. I agree with you.
And actually, going back to Indiana, not just that they won the regular season thing, but look at, they got this great player in there, right?
Yeah, Kevin Yogi Ferrell, yeah.
Yeah, that's up for the whatever. And, I don't know. And I don't know what we can do about this, but somebody's got to, especially Rutgers, somebody's got to do that. I used to teach there, and at that time, nobody went to the games, but at least they've improved some now. But something's got to be done to bolster up that situation, because it doesn't seem to matter that we play really good teams when we're not in the regular Big Ten season.
Coretta, I love that take. Great call. Great call. Appreciate that.
Okay, thanks. I enjoy your program.
Oh, thank you so much. Keep listening. Appreciate that. All right, let's hit our second break. You know what? Oh, my goodness. We've been talking so much that we have not heard from a voice that has been absent more than a week here on our show. That's right. Engineer Isaac Constance is back from Anno Nolens. You'll get to hear his voice after our second break, okay? You don't want to miss that. And also, again, we're going to play thoughts from Aaron Harris after winning the Big Ten title game, and he'll also talk about the seeding. And also, Denzel Valentine, he sounded a lot like Marshawn Lynch. You'll see what I'm going here. You'll see where I'm going here. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports.
The BBC World Service.
You're listening to the newsroom.
This is Clip.
Welcome to Assignment.
Welcome to From Our Own Correspondent.
Hello and welcome to Global Business.
Welcome to Hard Talk.
Welcome to The Wire Factor.
This is Science and Action.
Welcome to More or Less.
Welcome to Outlook.
It's time for Witness.
Hello and welcome along to The Arts Hour.
Great to have you on World Have Your Say.
Welcome to Sport Today.
BBC News.
The World Service from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, folks, again, I was out in Indiana. Got a chance to check out that shining moment. Not the one shining moment. We reserved that for the NCAA tourney, right? But at least Michigan State winning. Getting a bit of redemption. Winning the Big Ten tourney championship. They came in second place for the Big Ten regular season championship. Of course, the Indiana Hoosiers. They held that honor. And, you know, I got a chance to chat with many players in the locker room after that win. And I want to play two bites. One from Aaron Harris, Michigan State guard, transferred from West Virginia. And also Denzel Valentine, who you guys know Denzel, Lansing native, you know, Big Ten Player of the Year this year, in contention for National Player of the Year. First off, let's start with Harris. Here's what Aaron Harris had to say about winning the Big Ten championship.
Man, we had two back-to-back tough games, and I think that that was for the better of us. So we got a lot to look back at. We got some things that we want to shore up. But, you know, a lot of props to my team. I'm happy for my team for winning this tough game. You know, those guys are tough on the inside.
Aaron, did you guys have a mindset that if you did win the Big Ten tourney championship that you guys would be a number one seed? You deserve to be a number one seed?
I think we did have that in our minds, but we also had in our mind that we may be a number two, you know. So maybe some of us were surprised, but a lot of us weren't surprised. You know, coaches said, hey, we're going to do us, and we're going to win out anyway.
Does that give you more motivation?
Yeah, it definitely gives us motivation, but our team's been motivated since last April. Your coach just said it last April when the season ended. We were motivated since then to win the championship. So we got one down, and we got one more to go.
Five Big Ten tournament titles. What does that say about Michigan State?
Oh, man, the history of this program, man, is we fight, we battle. You know, I'm new to the program, but I know the culture is have each other's back, and we win. That's what it is.
What's that feeling of cutting down the net?
That was my first time cutting down any nets in my life. You know, I didn't win a national. I mean, I never won a national championship or a state championship or anything. So I'm happy. I'm happy to have done that. It felt great being up on that ladder, you know, showing that to my family, showing it to all the crowd and my teammates. And there's nothing like it.
How much do you want to do it again?
Man, it's a whole nother level. You know, our coach, Mike Garland, he said that there's no other feeling like winning a national championship. It's something that we never felt, and that's something I want to feel.
Aaron Harris, Michigan State guard, and here is what senior guard and captain Denzel Valentine had to say when addressing the number two seed for his team.
The committee controls everything. You know, if they feel like we're not a number one seed, then we're not a number one seed to them. We're just going to do what we got to do to get to Houston.
Does that put a chip, not that you needed a chip on your shoulder, but okay, we'll show you we're the best.
It is what it is. One or two, I mean, I don't know. I really never been a one seed, so I don't know how it feels, but we went to a Final Four as a seven seed. So we're capable of making it to the Final Four no matter where we are.
But you know how your coach loves to play the disrespect card for us in the public. Has he done that with you guys yet?
I mean, you know, but it is what it is. Like I said, you know, we can control. The committee controls the number one seeds and all that. At the end of the day, we're in the tournament. We got just as good a chance as anybody else making it to Houston. So, if you want to say, puts a chip on our shoulder, yeah. I mean, go ahead and say it. But at the same time, Michigan State, we got to control what we can control.
Is it a respect thing, Zell, not being a number one seed?
I mean, kinda, but like I said, we can control what we can. I mean,
you're not getting nothing else out of
you. No, I mean, we won. We're happy about the tournament championship. if they feel like we're a two seed, and then go ahead and put us there and see what we do.
We can control what we can control. Yeah, that's the quote of the week right there, all right? let's hear from our current sports engineer, Isaac Casas, who was on spring break in his hometown of New Orleans this past week. But he is back at it, the man behind the glass. Isaac, how you doing? How's the fam doing out there?
You know, Al, it is what it is. I control what I can control. No, I'm just kidding. It was a good trip. I really enjoyed it. Feels nice being back and actually road trip down and then road trip back up. So didn't get to catch any of the games on TV, only on the radio.
Oh, wow.
Did tune into both games in their entirety, and it was a great showing from the Spartans, it sounded like. And the play that stood out to me, of course, was Colby Wildman's putback. The calling of that play was just fantastic and was exhilarating. It was quite the game, it sounded like.
Yeah, it was. It was. So what do you think about this whole number two seed for Michigan State? Sort of give a breakdown. We haven't got your thoughts yet.
Yeah, my opinion is basically Michigan State lucked out. Did they deserve a number one seed? Yes, I think they did. I think they deserved it over Virginia, not over Oregon. The Pac-12 is stacked this year, and Oregon came out of it in glowing colors. I mean, they came out just clearly the strongest team. They destroyed Utah earlier in the season, who is a fantastic basketball program in itself. So I thought Oregon deserved it. Virginia, not so much. But Michigan State being matched up in the weakest bracket with Virginia, they looked out being this number two seed. Because if Michigan State would have been a number one seed, it would have been the fourth one, meaning they would have gotten possibly a tougher bracket, a tougher number two seed, all of that. This bracket, Michigan State, I really think they can go to the Final Four with only one very difficult matchup in Virginia or Purdue or Iowa State. I'm not even convinced that Virginia will live to see that rematch. But Michigan State versus Utah, which I think is inevitable, I think that's a game the Spartans should handle fairly well just because of the playing styles of the team. And I think Michigan State set up pretty well. So do they deserve a number one seed? Yes, but Spartan fans should be happy that they got the seed that they have.
Yeah, I believe that when you look at Michigan State's path to a possible Final Four, don't sleep on Seton Hall either. You know, if there's going to be any bump in the road for Utah before they eventually play Michigan State, I think that's going to happen too. I think we'll see the Utes take on the Spartans. But Seton Hall, I mean, they were so impressive in their conference tourney. Very, very good team. But the Utes, they look so good right now. But don't sleep on Seton Hall. I think it will be Michigan State versus Utah. I think Michigan State will beat Utah to play Virginia. And, you know, and looking at, you know, just the dynamic of this bracket. Again, there is no, like, clear cut. I mean, I think this may be the first year that we see a one seed go out in the first round. I think we will see it. I think we will see it this year. It's never happened before. But if there's any, if it's any year for it to happen, it is certainly this year. And I didn't get to my bowl prediction. I have a bunch of bowl predictions that if I'm right, I look like a genius. If I'm wrong, everybody's wrong around March Madness. So who cares? So I'll get to those tomorrow, though, with just 2 minutes left. But go ahead.
No, I mean, that's all I had really for you, too. I mean, Oregon, I think, is one of the favorites and should be for the national championship. Don't sleep on them just because they're not a big name. Oregon this season has played team after team, very tough, and it's been big. I think Cal Bears as well with Jaylen Brown, the stud freshman, are a team to look out for. Their perimeter defense can lock down any opponents, and I think they were placed in a favorable bracket as well. So I think there are a few teams, and, you know, we will be talking about this all week, I'm sure. When it's March Madness, there's nothing else to talk about. So I'll have plenty of predictions tomorrow as well.
Yeah, we're just scratching the surface here. I'm going to fill out my bracket. And we'll go through region by region tomorrow as well. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a jam-packed week here on the show. Of course, you got boys and girls high school basketball taking place like what every single day this week. It was a jam-packed week last week. I had a great time going out to multiple games. And we'll definitely be bringing that to you throughout the week. But much thanks to all you guys out there for tuning in and listening. Our outstanding callers, Ray, Michael, Coretta, appreciate you guys chiming in. Thanks so much to all of you out there who may not have called in, but listen, for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Again, keep it locked to WKAR.org Later on this evening, you'll get to see the post-game celebration for Michigan State as they took home the Big Ten Tourney Championship over Purdue, and also my post-game report. Don't go anywhere, folks, as we have a great week in store for all of you guys out there. But in the meantime, have a great afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.